Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Gospel, in the book of Acts, the 13th chapter, verses 26 through 44. Afterwards, the form for the administration of baptism will be read. Let us sing first from Psalter number 74, stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, give ear when with my voice I cry aloud to thee. Have mercy also, I entreat. Give answer unto me. 1 and 2 of Psalter 74.
We repeat, the scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, beginning with verse 26 to including 44. But first we read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeat Acts 13, beginning with verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they know him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they, Pilate, that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, that thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell and sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that though this man is preached unto you, the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Thus far our scripture reading. Let us together read the form for the administration of holy baptism, which can be found on page 126 of the Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our soul is signified, And we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto them and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church. Let us call upon his holy name.
Let us try to pray. O Almighty and Eternal God, Thou who hast, according to Thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to Thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led Thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech Thee that Thou wilt be pleased of Thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by Thy Holy Spirit into Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with Him into His death, and be raised with Him in newness of life, and that they may daily follow Him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto Him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, and that they may, with a comfortable sense of Thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ Thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with Thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter number 48, the 8th stanza. The Lord's unfailing righteousness all generations shall confess. From age to age shall men be taught what wondrous works in the Lord has wrought. In the last stanza of Psalter 48. I now ask the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed His covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation, itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of His church ought to be baptized. Second, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments, and the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Mr. and Mrs. Arjan Janssen? Mr. and Mrs. David Arnoldusen? Dear parents, in the providence of the Lord, then we hope to speak a few words this afternoon about the significance of baptism. Therefore, we will be short. Only this word. We read the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came into this world and began His ministry here below. Then He began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Thus, it was for or because that kingdom is at hand, because that kingdom is close unto you, because now, as never before in the history of the world, and that kingdom that has come so very, very near, that He says that if you miss it now, then you will certainly miss it forever and forever. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when your child will receive that sacrament of holy baptism, then your child is brought so very, very close to the kingdom of God. Very close. That is, we cannot in an outward way in this world be brought closer to the kingdom of God than we are brought under that holy sacrament of baptism. We read in God's word that David said that there is but one step between me and death. And now, when we are brought under this sacrament, then it is actually that there is but one step yet between me and life. One step. We are brought so very, very close. Why? We are brought in the outward church. We are brought under the prayers of God's people. James, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, did testify that the supplication, the prayer, the earnest, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when we come under the sacrament of baptism, and then we are brought under the prayers of God's church, we are brought under the administration of that holy word of God, and then we are brought to receive a sign of the covenant of God upon our forehead, the covenant between God and His church, that sign, that seal, then we are brought even under the promises. For there is a great promise that is connected to it. You make a promise this day. How is it? Because it is not your first child. No, the Lord has blessed you already with many children, how is the promise that you have made before? You make a promise, but his promise that is also connected to this sacrament, there is an unconditional promise. He will work. He promises to do that. He will work under the preaching of his word within his church, in which your children are also brought. There is also a conditional promise. Seek, and ye shall find. Oh, how close. Then the Lord Jesus, he says, as it were, redouble your efforts. Redouble your efforts. Why? Because you are so close. And what shall it be to miss it, being so very, very close? May the Lord remember you, give you faithfulness as parents, and grant you a place at his footstool, as so that also our children, that they being brought so close, that we may not miss it for a great eternity. Congregation, after the Amen of Baptism, we ask you to arise and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. Kimberly Nicole, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Cara Michelle, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask the Lord for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, and that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee, and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God, that thou may look also upon each and every one of thy church, when we may hear the riches that are included in this holy sacrament, when we may hear what may be laid away for a people who are in themselves so black from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, and what has been purchased by thine only begotten Son in and through his passion and death, what has been merited by his obedience, all so pure and acceptable before thee, O Lord, and the blessings that are to be received, they are so immeasurably great that we cannot fathom but the smallest part of them. And what that song will be of that church one day that will sink away under thy love, and under thy long suffering to such a one as they are. Oh, could it please thee, then also to draw others in this afternoon hour, when we are called to speak yet a few words about this. Oh, Lord, then we beseech thee, that thy mercy, that it may be such a sounding in the ear of this one or of that one, who cannot see any way any more, and that he is able to enter into that kingdom. Lord, thou knowest each and every one where they are, for it is of thy Holy Spirit that thou dost work that cry. And men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, then it is not a coming forth out of the wretched and the miserable heart of a man, but when thou wilt by thy Holy Spirit begin to prick the heart, then the cry will go up. And Lord, then there will be place for the preaching of a free and a sovereign grace. Then it shall be that the liberty shall be received. Then the mouth shall go open, and then the ear shall also be pricked to hear. Oh, then the heart shall be given to understand. Oh, may there be place, Lord. And may there be ground that has been plowed up by thee, a fallow ground by nature, bringing forth nothing but a stench before thee. Oh, Lord, thou art able to make it so different. Oh, when it is in our heart so a rock hard in this afternoon, oh, could thou break it, Lord, by the power of thy Spirit? Oh, melt away the wretchedness and the miserableness that lies within us. Oh, make us truly sorry for all our guilt and our sin before thee. Oh, show to us that we have to appear before thee, and what is necessary therefore. Oh, feed thy people. For thou didst upon this earth ask thy disciple, when shall we feed this multitude with bread? O Lord, he did not have it, and he did not know, but thou knewest what thou wouldst do. O thou knowest what is necessary also in this afternoon hour. Lord, help us as thy servant, when thou hast called us truly to this work, that thou may give to us also in this afternoon that which is necessary in our body, in our mind. For thou knowest all our frailty, but thou art able to give us strength. Thou art able to give us clarity of mind, that we are able to bring it forth in a simple and plain way. But wilt thou give us also the riches of thy Holy Spirit, and that it may be evident that thou dost move among us, and that thy Spirit worketh hitherto, even as thou hast promised in the midst of the church, that it may become evident also in the midst of our children and our young people who are baptized before thee. Oh, that they also in the days of their youth may be given to repent, to flee from sin, that they may receive also that blessed forgiveness, because the time that is so short, and we go quickly unto our end, and we have to stand before thy judgment seat. Lord, look upon all the afflicted, all the needy, all the sick ones, all those that are weary in this life, all those that are old and ailing, and that have not the use anymore of all of their faculties. Be with all those that govern and rule us. Do remember all those that are sent to preach thy word, and that do labor also in the offices. Also a minister from our denomination who will be preaching in this week his farewell to his congregation, and to leave for another congregation in the Netherlands. Lord, could it please thee to go with him and to bless his labors, and remember those also that will travel from our midst to be there at that service. Those of our brothers, elders who labor in other places in this afternoon, do help them. And Lord, bless all our labors. Look upon us. Help us and bless us undeservedly. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 213, stanzas 2 and 12. Instructing our sons, we gladly record the praises, the works, the might of the Lord. For he hath commanded that what he hath done be passed in tradition from father to son. The second and the 12th stanza of 213, and the last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. Men and brethren, what shall we do? We have heard a congregation, we said it was an earnest question. We said it had a cause, and that cause was not in man. No, the cause was in the pricking of the heart, that is the Lord. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the ending. How is it? How is it? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, does the Lord work also among us? Amongst young and old, amongst the baptized according to His promise, to begin His work in such a way. We have heard at the beginning of that answer, repent. That is, turn ye from your evil ways. And that is to turn from sin, turning in the heart, turning in the life from all sin, because not only of its consequences, but because of the evil of sin, because it is against a holy and a righteous and a good doing God. Repent. And now we promise, but actually we cannot fulfill our promise. No, not from our side. But we have promised that we would try to speak again about now this second part. And therefore the words of our text, they can be found in Acts 2, 38, the second part. Acts 2, verse 38, the second part, these words, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter's exhortation to baptism, first, the necessity of this baptism, second, and the substance of this baptism. Peter's exhortation to baptism, first, the necessity, second, the substance. In congregation, then we say the necessity. Why? Because he has preached repent, but repentance, that is not enough. No, repentance that is absolutely necessary. And why necessary? Because there is no forgiveness without repentance. That is so between men also, is it not? There is in a certain sense forgiveness. Because we read in God's word, when thou dost stand praying. What does that mean, children? That means when thou dost come, especially before the face of the Lord, that is in the house of God, and then thou dost stand praying, then the Lord says, forgive, forgive. And why? He says, that ye may also be forgiven. Because that if we want to be forgiven, then we also must forgive. Thus, then he is speaking about those offenses that we have received from our neighbor. And then in my heart, then there is, in a certain sense, an ability that I may forgive my neighbor. Not, of course, in our own strength. We don't mean this. But that a person, for his own heart, then before the Lord, then he is not carrying resentment. Why? Because he knows who he is himself. Because he says, I am no different, because I am no better. Thus, when thou standest praying, forgive. However, that is not the same as that forgiveness that is expressed by us to one another. That is different. Why? Because that is an expression, we read it in God's Word, that comes after repentance. So the Lord Jesus says, take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Thus, he does not say just forgive him and say nothing. No, because you have also your brother. Thus, it is one thing to receive benefit yourself by forgiving in your heart. But you have also a brother, and he needs to receive also benefit. How does he receive benefit? Not just by forgiving. No. But he receives benefit first by a rebuke. So we must do according to Matthew 18. And if he repent, then forgive him. That is, if he repent, then express to him also that you forgive him. And if there is no repentance, well, then we make not such an expression. And why not? Because then all we do is countenance a man in his sin, that he will go on and on in his sin. That is, congregation, the same as with the Lord. Because there is a people who are forgiven. Justification that is from eternity. That is, because Christ was slain from the foundation of the world, already in the decree of God, because he is not a man and that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. And then the church of God that has been justified already, forgiven already from eternity. But that forgiveness that is not immediately expressed by the Lord. No, and then the Lord is withholding such an expression for the good of his church. And why? Because when that people will not have to come to repentance and to a confession before they receive the expression of forgiveness, then we will not do so. Thus, we read that Paul, he speaks about godly sorrow. He says, godly sorrow worketh a repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. Repentance unto salvation. Therefore, we say that there is no salvation without repentance. What does John the Baptist, we read that he began to preach, and he preached, we read, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Thus, let us not deceive ourselves to think that there can be forgiveness, remission of sins without repentance. So the Lord Jesus said to his disciples that thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again the third day. Why? He says that repentance and remission may be preached unto all nations. Thus, repentance is absolutely necessary unto salvation. But it is not enough. It is not enough to turn from sin, not in our heart, not in our life. And why not? Because turning away from sin, that does not pay the debt for sin. Turning away from sin, that does not satisfy the justice of God concerning sin. When a thief would turn from his stealing, that congregation is absolutely necessary. But his turning away from that stealing does not restore yet what he has stolen. That turning away from his stealing is not yet the punishment that he deserves because of his thievery. That turning away from his stealing, and that does not yet reunite his own heart with the heart of him that has been offended by his sin. Oh, repentance necessary, but repentance that is not enough. Our repentance, our turning does not merit anything. No, it is but a turning away and a sorrow for sin that should not have been there in the first place. And therefore, it is insufficient. Sin that is not just forgotten by the Lord. Will you remember that, children? The Lord does not forget every one of our sins is written in the book of God, and there is not a single one that is exempt. And every one of them will certainly be dealt with, because the Lord is a righteous judge. And therefore we say the necessity of this baptism. Why? Because that repentance, that first part, though it is so absolutely necessary, is still insufficient. And therefore we go to our second thought. That is the substance of this baptism. What does he say? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. To be baptized. What is that? We have witnessed baptism. And we do not so often see that, children, because we are part of that established church in the world. Then we do not so often see that an adult also is baptized. But we have heard that these parents, they must first make a confession and a promise. And when you will read the form also for adult baptism, then you will see that there also there is first a confession. There is a confession of our misery, a confession of our wretchedness, a confession of sin, and a confession of faith. And after that confession, there is coming the sacrament of baptism. But that sacrament that has, as we have heard from the form, and as we may know by our instruction, young people, in catechism class, then that baptism that has a very great significance. And what is that? That is, in short, forgiveness. That is washing. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Thus, it is not that sacrament that is standing in the first place that we say the necessity of baptism, no, not as a sacrament in that sense, as if a person cannot be saved without that sacrament. No, that is not so. But when we say the necessity of that baptism, then we are speaking about the substance, the meaning of that baptism. Thus, how necessary is the remission of sin. The remission of sin. Why? Because repentance, or the turning from sin, that is not enough. Because that price that still needs to be paid, because that justice that still needs to be satisfied? Or is there a people that feel it? Is there a people that experience it? Oh, that all the sorrow that may live in your heart is not yet able to take away that sin, and that all the tears that the Lord may give a man to shed, because he has sinned against a holy and a righteous God, that still congregation, that his guilt that is remaining before his judge. Luther experienced it. And with all his tears, he experienced it with all his self-afflictions. He experienced it though he has gone into a monastery, though that he has chastised himself, then that sin that was coming back and back and back again, that he was not able to relieve himself with all his turning. He was not able to relieve himself of his guilt. Is that understandable? That is so understandable. Why? Well, congregation, repentance is a work. It is a work. And confession is a work. And it is a work that is required by the Lord. And it is a work that is given by the Spirit of the Lord. But what do we read in God's Word? That by works, that a man is not justified in the sight of God. What does the apostle say? He says that when we have done our duty, when we have done all that is commanded of us by the Lord, then we are as yet unprofitable servants. Then we have only done what was our duty to do. Thus, our repentance, our confession, oh, they are indeed necessary, they are indeed commanded, but they are now works that are not able to give unto us what we really need. Then we are still coming so very short. And therefore, the apostle, he says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Thus, of what is he speaking? He is speaking, congregation, of faith. He is speaking about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That faith that is truly receiving all the benefits that are flowing out of Him. Repent, he says, and be baptized. Oh, the same as the Lord Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel, he says. Thus, repentance and faith. Repent and be baptized. No, we cannot miss the first part, but we certainly are not able either to miss the second part. Because we may sorrow, but if we never receive the second part, we still shall be lost. Be baptized, he says, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Here, congregation, is the remedy. Here is the receiving of everything that we are not able yet to receive, even by repentance. And why? Well, because it is an addressing of all the things that are lacking in that repentance. And what did we say, children? What was one of the first things that is now lacking in a mere repentance, in a mere turning? That thief, when he says, I will not steal anymore, that is not enough. And why not? Because it is not yet the restoration. It does not yet give back what must go back. And now what do we read in the Word of God? Already long before the Lord Jesus was born, then it was prophesied of Him what He would do. And what would He do? He would restore. Thus we read, then I restored that which I took not away. He restored it. This was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to make a restoration again unto His Father when it would be impossible for that church that needed to be redeemed, when it would be from their side impossible to make that restoration. Oh, do you feel it? Do you experience it also? Those who cry out, men and brethren, what must we do? Oh, do you experience also that you are unable to restore that which you took away? And what was it that we took away? Well, we congregation have robbed God of His honor. We have robbed God of His honor. Do you know what it says, boys and girls, in the Bible? We heard it. We heard it just lately. Honor thy father and thy mother. And how do you do that? Well, you honor them when you obey them, then you keep their commandments, then you do according to their wishes, according to their desire, their will, their rule, their command, then you honor them. And now what have we done? Oh, we have robbed God of His honor. And it is, congregation, impossible. Do you ever feel it? It is impossible to return that honor unto God again. You say, I will begin today. Oh, And what about yesterday? What about our life? What about our heart? Because before the Lord, even our best works, they are stained with sin. All our righteousnesses we read as filthy rags. Oh, do you ever experience something? How deep that we have fallen, that we are unable to restore again unto God that honor that is properly due unto Him. A holy, a righteous, a majestic being. Oh, this, for this reason, the Apostle Peter, he says, not only repent, because though it be a true repentance, it is still falling short. We need congregation to receive something. We need to receive it from someone else who has restored the honor of God for the sake of His church. Do you know what we read in Psalm 69? Then I restored that which I took not away. Thus, He restored it not for Himself, but for His church. In His active obedience, never once was His will different than His Father's. Never once was there rebellion in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he had work to do, which no man in this world would be capable of enduring. Oh, this is now the honor which He has restored unto His Father. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is written in my heart. Oh, this is now the restoration that has been purchased for that church. And unless, Peter says, unless we be baptized, unless we receive this out of the Son of God, then there is no way to make restoration. Then we are lost forever. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. There is another part. Do you remember it, children? The other part. You say the restoration, yes. There is something else. That is the justice. That is the justice. We heard something of that justice in this morning hour concerning murder. But there is more than one commandment. Oh, how our government that has a responsibility to carry out justice before God, because they are, as it were, the instrument of God here upon this world to carry out justice, to punish sin. There is more than one commandment. How is it, children? How is it when in school, when your teacher, in everything that whenever there would be a transgression, there would never be a punishment? How would they be? You say, I would like that. No, you would not like that. Do you know what you would feel? You would feel that something is very, very wrong. You would feel that. There is actually pain. There is pain in our inner being when we behold in this world justice is not carried out. There is pain in us. Why? Because we are created in the image of God. And there is a remnant of that image. There are sparks of that image that are still left in man. Thus, when we behold injustice, we feel pain. If that is so, in fallen man, how much more in God Himself? A holy God, a righteous God, who is not able to look upon sin. Congregation, this God, we read, is a consuming fire. His justice must be satisfied. Otherwise, God is not God anymore. And now this satisfaction, oh, do you ever feel it? This satisfaction that is not to be made by us. When we would have to satisfy for one sin, that means eternal death. But He has made a way. It is His only begotten Son who has made that satisfaction. How? In His passive obedience. When He has given Himself as a lamb to the slaughter. And when laid upon Him was the iniquity of that church of God. When He was justified in His resurrection. O congregation, restoration and the punishment endured. Thus, reconciliation. Reconciliation that is now able to take place. But there is only one way. There is only one way. The apostle says, repent. But he cannot finish there. Because then we are still lost. Therefore he says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Let us sing. 235, 1 and 2. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need. My Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford. I cry to thee. 1 and 2. Of 235. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Congregation, are there such people? Also in our days, are there those that cry out under the knowledge of sin? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Are there still those by the Spirit of the Lord in the last days in which we live, that have places in their inner chambers where no other eye can see them but the Lord, and whose heart that is watching, waiting for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning, and yet, oh, they do not know what to do. Do not know what to do because of a heart that is full of iniquity. Do not know what to do because there is a separation, a gulf between God and my soul. Do not know what to do because God is holy and I am unholy. Do not know what to do because I have to die and I am not able to die. O men and brethren, what shall we do? David says, I have no rest in my bones because of my sin. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Oh, what shall we do? What is the answer of the Lord by the apostle congregation that is repent and be baptized? Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Oh, repent, he says. Oh, turn. Turn from that evil and that vain life. Turn in your heart. Turn in your life. Why? Because the Lord Jesus says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Oh, and but then, does he say, do you say you do not know what to do? Oh, he says, be baptized. He says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of you that do not know what to do. Oh, here he says, is what needs to be done. Be baptized, be washed, be cleansed, be inundated. Oh, be sprinkled. Be immersed in the merits, in the mediation, in the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, be baptized in it. Oh, he speaks about the freeness of it. He speaks about the abundance that is in it. He says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. He says it because he says that there is no limit to the efficacy of it, because it is for those who have sinned against light and against grace, because it is those who are for the most are the most wicked. He says because there is no sin that is not able to be washed away, to be justified through that baptism. Oh, there are no limits to it. His grace that is wide as the ocean, shining bright before his face, are truth and love and boundless grace, he says. Oh, is that not the wonder? Be baptized. The wonder that was to a Manasseh who has filled all Jerusalem with blood. Or was that not the wonder to a Saul of Tarsus who has slain the true church of the Lord? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. What does he say? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye. Oh, come ye to the waters. all without money, without price. Let him that is athirst, let him come. And whosoever will, let him take of the waters of life freely. Let him drink. Let him forget his misery, his poverty, and remember it no more. Let him freely receive, what is to be freely received from me. Out of all my offices, the kingly office, the prophetical office, and the priestly office, how many fears. How many fears they are living in the heart of that convinced people congregation. Fears even to knock, as it were, at that wicked gate. Read Christiana about mercy. How she has fainted before that gate. But what does now the apostle say? He says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, and that we might find mercy to help in time of need. But those fears, they are there. Then my repentance, is that repentance really genuine? Is that conviction, is it a true conviction? Is it a conviction that goes deep enough? Will I be accepted? And that is now for the people of the Lord. Is that now also something that could possibly be for me? But what does Isaiah say? He says, only let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Because he says, my thoughts, they are not your thoughts, and your ways, they are not my ways. Because you think that you will be rejected because of the greatness of your sin. No, they are not my thoughts, he says. No, as the heaven is higher than the earth, as so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I am going to receive all the honor and all the glory when I will cleanse, when I will wash a wretched and a miserable sinner. Therefore, the Lord says, he will wait to be gracious. We heard that also in this morning. Because he is not willing that any should perish. Every one of his elect, he is going to take in. And as it were, congregation, as it were, then he is waiting to be gracious. Then he is drawing them that they may come. What shall we do? Is that your question? Remember what we said. First the question. First the question. When that question is wrought, then there is place, congregation, for the answer. Is there place also for this answer in the midst of us? What shall I do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. We have to close. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says that repentance and the remission of sins, they should be preached unto all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance and remission, repentance and faith, they are double graces. Repentance that feels the disease, and now that faith that embraces, congregation, the remedy. They are fruits of regeneration, that is accomplished by the Spirit of the Lord. What does the Lord say? No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. That is the experience of that people. But he also says, ye will not. Ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. That is the depth of our wretchedness, the depth of our fall, the depth of our misery. Oh, it is also commanded. The call, calling to repentance that is coming to the whole world. We heard it. And the vocatio realis, the creation itself, calling men to repentance. But now, that calling to baptism, O congregation, the poor, poor world, they never hear it. They never hear it. But we may hear it. The calling also, not only repent, but be baptized. We have to give an account for this. Oh, that is proclaimed unto us. The freeness, the abundance that is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to give an account for this. Do we mourn? Because we have of ourselves no need for Him. O congregation, It is a motive to repentance. May it be also among us. When the Lord says repent, then He does not show a sword. No. He says repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Or when you would say, oh, then there is a possibility to be baptized. Then there is a possibility to be forgiven, to be washed, to be cleansed. Oh, then that is also a motive unto repentance. Do you know what the rich man said? He said, Father Abraham, if one should go to them from the dead, they will repent. They will repent. And do you know what Abraham said? He said, nay. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. And if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they repent, though one rose from the dead. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot make place for Thy word. That is Thy work. And we ask it of Thee, Lord, because we can but stammer, and what Thou writest in Thy word, and it is so free. And it is so abundant. Oh, what shall our judgment be? And when such a word as we may read here and may come unto us, and there is never a need, and never a receiving, never a true baptism. We have that baptism on our foreheads, and we miss the substance. Oh, prevent it, Lord. Prevent it. Send us home with a blessing. Send us home with an arrow. And could it please Thee to draw us, then we shall run after Thee. Be with us in the week that is to come, also in the rest of this day. Spare us all for one another. Teach us out of Thy law to do Thy will. We ask it in the forgiveness of our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. 420, the fifth stanza. Let God be praised with reverence deep. He daily comes our lives to steep. in bounties freely given. Fifth stanza of Psalter 420.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.